Let's go back in time to 1932 as Converse brings you historic footage of the legendary original Celtics with whom all great professional teams are compared.
We have now taken over your radio.
Richie Guerin is about to show you the most important step in getting past a man. It's the first one.
And Oscar will inbound it. The men in green, the Milwaukee Bucks, that's Al Cinder against Bellamy.
Has Jordan. Allen shakes free. Gets two.
Gilmore.
Oh, big stop.
Oh,
brother.
Lead Toledo artist. You get 21.
4:28 to go in the first quarter for the Cal Palace. Here's Barry.
Jordan. Open. Chicago with the lead.
Hello and welcome back to the Over and Back Classic NBA podcast. I'm Jason Mann. With me as always is Rich Kraich. Rich, good to be back with you.
Absolutely.
And we are going to next talk about the top 50 case for Dennis Rodman. Definitely an interesting figure in NBA history. Very colorful, I guess you could say.
Literally.
You being a Chicago Bulls fan obviously has some meaning to you as well. He is... looking at the overall case for him or some of the numbers for him, he's 104th all time, he's 104th all time in win shares, 98th in win shares for 48, 61st in box score plus minus, and 61st in value over replacement player. He is twice on the all NBA third team. He was seven times on the all defensive first team and once on the all defensive second team. He has one season in the top 10 in win shares, one season in top 10 in value over replacement player. He is first all time in rebounding percentage by quite a margin. He was first in the league for eight straight seasons and also is, for whatever it's worth, he is nine times in the top 10 in defensive rating. I don't think individual defensive rating tells you a whole lot, but it's there. So, in the Bill Simmons Book of Basketball Pyramid, he is 69th. And in the Slam Magazine Top 500, he is 48th. So it's a very strong case that he is the strongest rebounder ever, incredible defensive force, and a major contributor to some of the winningest teams ever with five rings. But, you know, can a player with so little scoring be considered for the top 50 whose value goes completely on defense? I think that's kind of the... really the case that the answer that we have to come up with if we're going to kind of consider Rodman and maybe some other guys too as a top 50 candidate. So Rich, what do you think?
Yeah, he's an interesting one. And I think the biggest part, and you mentioned it in his strengths, you talk about possibly the greatest rebounder ever and a guy that you can easily make a case that he is, you know, the best rebounder of all time. Can you leave a guy out of the top 50 if he's the best at one of the major parts of the game? You know what I mean? That's something that throughout this process and looking through Rodman and looking at stuff, it's like, man, like, and because you know what you mentioned is correct. I mean, it's hard when the guy has pretty much no value on one side of the ball, but he is so good on the other side of the ball in terms of defense and rebounding. And we look at some of the keys of the game and, you know, the facets of the game or whatever. Two of them, he's like elite all-time great in. And it's just because he's, you know, not so good in the other, it's, I don't know, because I feel like on the other side, if there was a guy who was an all-time great scorer, but not, you know, sort of a middling defensive player, we sort of, you know, we wrestle with this idea too, but a lot of times we kind of, in the end, we'll say, yeah, they're probably in or whatever, as long as they add something else. Well, this guy's, you know, the greatest rebounder ever, you know, arguably, and one of the best defensive players ever. So to me, I would almost have to say he's an absolute yes, but, you know, there is some merit to what you said of, like, it does kind of open the floodgates for some other guys that might now become, you know, no doubters, because it's like, well, you know, if Rodman's in there, it's, and I don't usually like doing that of like, well, if X is in, then, you know, Y and Z have to be in or whatever. But, you know, if you make a case that Rodman's a no doubter, then, you know, there are some other guys that have some good cases as well.
Yeah. And, you know, Rodman has, you know, 7.3 points per game for his career, which is obviously it's very low. That would be by far the lowest of anybody who would be on our list. I think by half, I think Unseld is like 14. So, you know, I see what you're saying for sure. And I think that there's also a case that, you know, maybe the numbers aren't telling us, you know, the advanced stats aren't quite that strong for Robin, that they don't necessarily capture the things that he does the best. But there's a really interesting study done by Benjamin Watson of at skepticalsports.com. He writes for 538 now, and he wrote, you know, like a really interesting series on, you know, making a case for Dennis Rodman to be in the Hall of Fame. This was before that he was elected to the Hall of Fame. And you know, the things that stood out to me on that piece were one, that he, was incredibly great both at rebounding on both ends of the floor, which is not something that is a case for basically any other rebounder. There was no trade off for him in offensive and defensive rebounding rates. He was elite at both. And you know, even though we've talked about how he didn't really bring that much on offense, his teams actually played significantly better on offense with him in the lineup, even after accounting for the offensive rebounding. So obviously, the offensive rebounding is something that would add value sure. on offense. But you know, he was able to, you know, when he was on the floor, the offenses were better. I think there Ben Wallace is another guy who that has happened to, where Ben Wallace is, you know, definitely, I think in some ways a similar case to Rodman, where you know, the value seems to be all in defensive, on the defensive end, but you know, he's also had kind of a similar thing. And Rodman has, you know, in that piece, some of the, greatest, you know, like scoring margin, like as far as turns on being on the floor versus being off the floor, the, on off stuff, like Rodman has, you know, like one of the, if not the best numerical case of like players in the past 25, 30 years.
Yeah, which is insane, because you know, if you think about that again, you know, after accounting, or you know, after accounting for the odds of a rebounding, you look at a guy who, you know, by all accounts, there's no reason to pass him the ball. The offense, you know, is not gonna, you know, you could almost make a case that, you know what, leave Dennis. You know, if Jordan's coming down the lane or whatever, just leave Dennis. You know what I mean? Like, just completely forget about Rodman or whatever. And then yeah, you see that where, you know, it'd be interesting to see Rodman in this sort of era where you'd have more kind of a zone defense, you know, ability to sort of play areas versus having to play players. You know, obviously, you know, in his time, he was able to sort of, the guy had to kind of stick with him. You couldn't have a floater, you know, like we see LeBron James do a lot of times, where the guy just, he just kind of leaves his guy and just sort of floats in the space or whatever. It'd be interesting to see how he would sort of adjust to this era. But we look at a guy like Ben Wallace, who played a decent amount of his career in that era, and it's still, as you said, it's still, he was still a great effect on his offense, even without being, you know, an offensive player. But yeah, I think I look at that, and I think, again, that that's another notch in his resume. That's just an incredible all-around resume. Real quick here, I'm going to look at era position and all-time at his position, a few of the advanced stats. He's 10th in win shares in his position and his era, 16th in win shares per 48, and 6th in value over replacement players. So he definitely stands out amongst forwards of his era and position. All-time, he drops down a little bit here. 46th in win shares, 60th in win shares per 48, but then does pretty well in value over replacement, or 26th in value over replacement player. And a lot of that is, of course, defensive blocks plus minus and the defensive stats as well add a little bit more to that. But yeah, he's an interesting case. I think he has to be in the conversation at some point, because, as I said, it's just, I don't know if I can do this list without, you know, having arguably the best rebounder ever. I mean, he's the best at one of the major facets of the game, and he's so far and away, as you said, the one of the best, or the best, or whatever. And then you add in the elite defense. It's a good case for me. I don't know if he's a slam dunk. I'm not saying he's absolutely in there, but I think he merits, you know, at least a thought when we get that final pairing and the final 50.
Yeah, and you know, his defensive versatility obviously was, you know, he could defend bigs and he could defend wings. Yeah. You know, each extremely well. Obviously, he keyed. I mean, the Bulls, you know, improved incredibly when he came over there. I mean, obviously, Jordan was at full form again as well. I mean, it wasn't just Robin being in there, but that was a big, you know, he was a very important player for those teams. Obviously, they would not have won three championships without him. No question about it. And you know, in the Pistons, he was strong there. Yeah. I mean, he replaced a Hall of Famer in Adrian Dantley. They basically traded Adrian Dantley because, hey, we Dennis Rodman needs to play, you know. He was a key player for a lot of great teams. Yeah, I think there's a good argument for him, and it's not necessarily he's not necessarily a slam dunk, but I think I definitely do think that there's a strong case. I'm a little surprised he didn't get on the initial list. And granted, it was done, this so it would have been before the seven. It would have been during the 72. Mm-hmm. Or no, I guess it would have been done because it was 97 All-Star game, so they would have already had the 72-10 season.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So part of it may have just been because of Rodman's off the court stuff of just the the wildness and just
they just don't want him there.
Feeling like he wouldn't represent
he'd have pink hair or whatever,
wearing a dress.
Rick Barry would be throwing comments about it.
Yeah,
and stuff,
so there you go. So
do you think him and Rick Barry have ever been in the same room? And how would that go? I think well.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like they'd get along really well.
Rick probably just try to show them how to shoot free throws.
Exactly. So. I love. There's one year, looking at Dennis Rodman's career, I love it that there was a Pistons year where he just shot a lot of three pointers and just not a lot, but he shot like 101. I think at 91, 92. Yeah, I'm finding it now. He was 32 of 101. From there, 31% is not bad. Yeah. I mean, when you consider that, if you remember like prime, Chicago Bulls, Dennis Rodman, like that dude looked like he had never like practiced a shot in his life or whatever. To hit 31% from three, that's not bad. It's 30 years old too, Dennis Rodman. But yeah, he never really did it again. Yeah. And I think the rest of his career, I don't know if he amassed 100 total.
Yeah, he was such an oddball in just so many different ways. As far as he was 25 when he came in league. He came from a very small college. I mean, just everything about his career path was strange.
I still don't get how he like actually made it to the NBA. You know what I mean? Like it's really unique that this guy was able, as you said, from Southeast Oklahoma State. Like what the hell is that?
Right.
Like it's not even it's just a non-factor. And he's a guy who, comes in the NBA and when he initially is there, in Detroit or whatever, he's a guy that he just can't. I feel like when you get a guy that there is merit, of course, to rebounding and defense or whatever, but I feel like a lot of people would look at this guy and go, Jesus, he can't score at all. Like, he's just, he's so awkward. He's weird. Where did this guy come from? The story of him getting to the NBA still just amazes me. Like, it's like a one of a kind thing that this guy, 6'7", too. I think that's another important part of his size as well. Like, he's the greatest rebounder of all time. And it's like, yeah, he's like the size of LeBron. Or like, he's the size of like Sean Livingston in point guard these days. And he's the best ever. It's so weird. He's got just the most unique career ever, and I don't know if we're ever going to be able to do it justice, in this project. He'd be a guy that I'd love to do just like a real big long introspective about, because it's just so much there.
Yeah, definitely. I think that I'm just trying to think of like a player who is like him, who is closest to being like Dennis Rodman, and I can't think of anybody who,
like, in today's game.
Well, yeah, or any time really. I mean, just anybody who kind of has that combination of skills. And I don't think there's anybody who just is his size with his skill set who can rebound like he did. I really don't think there's anybody.
Yeah, like you said, I think Ben Wallace is the next closest comp.
I guess. I mean, Ben Wallace didn't really defend wings, and
right, exactly. Yeah. And that's the difference there. Is like, Ben Wallace had his fun stuff, but yeah, he's guarding point. He's guarding power forwards.
Yeah, he guarded bigger guys. But
you can't switch on Rodman. Like Rodman, it's like, okay, cool, yeah, I got you locked down now, Gary Payton. Like,
right.
Like that's insane. Like, yeah, oh wait, crap. I'm back on. Now I'm on Ewing. Oh, now I'm on Mark Jackson. It's like, that's insane. Like, how does that happen? Like, you can't do that.
Yeah, it's
like he's got the LeBron defensive thing, but like it's just take out any and all scoring. It's very weird. Yeah, like you said, it's unheard of, really.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, everyone, thanks for checking us out. You can find us at harvardparoxysm.com. We are part of the HP Network of Podcasts. You can find both our podcast or all of the HP Network podcasts on iTunes. We'd appreciate a rating and review. And you can find us also at overandbacknba.com, which is our forums where you can discuss any of the top 50 players or anything to your heart's content regarding basketball history. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at OverAndBackNBA. And we also have a new newsletter, NBA Over and Back NBA History Newsletter, which recounts the what's been happening in the world of NBA history for the week. We just try to find interesting articles, podcasts, or videos, anything that relates to classic basketball we have in there. So check that out. And until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll be back again soon.